सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। So last week we were on this mantra. We had not completed it. Om Purnam Adaha, Purnam Idam, Purnat Purnam Udachate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Eva Avashishate. And we saw that the key word was Purnam, and we saw the meaning of Purnam to be Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinna, means not limited by space, time, or objects, which means it, Purnam means it is infinite and it has to be therefore all pervading. When we say infinite, automatically it becomes changeless and permanent. It's not never reducing, never, no kshaya is there, no loss is there. So Shruti is telling us Purnam Adaha. Adaha means that. The next two keywords in this verse are that and this. So that, I told you, the connotation of that, when I say that, what comes to mind is something far away from me. And so when Shruti says that is Purna, she means that something which is far away from us, but far away not in the sense of distance, in the sense that we cannot perceive it by our means of knowledge. So the six means of knowledge that I told you, that is beyond the perception of our senses. So that actually means that which is beyond the perception of our senses. We cannot see it. Okay. So for now, we just leave that at it because we'll see what it is later. And then Purnam Idam. Now, Idam is opposed to Adaha, that. So this is opposite of that. So if that is what cannot be perceived by the senses, then this has to be something which can be perceived by the senses. And we saw the 37 aspects of it, the five elements, the five sense organs of perception, the five objects of perception, excuse me, the five pranas, the five organs of action, and the five actions themselves, the four aspects of the mind, and then the three aspects, the gunas of which we see in Prakriti or which we see in the world, sattva, rajas, and tamas. We don't directly see sattva, rajas, and tamas, but we see their manifestation as peace, knowledge, activity, and inertia. So the principle of inertia, the principle of dynamism, and the principle of knowledge is perceived by us, inferred, seen, whatever. And because of that, we can infer sattva, rajas, and tamas. So all this is included in idam. So Shruti has said that is Purna and this is Purna. If that and this both are Purna, then are there two Purnas? We cannot say that there are two Purnas, because if there were two Purnas, then each one would limit the other. And we have already defined Purnam to be that which is unlimited. So we cannot have that Purna limited by this Purna which is here. So that is, two Purnas is not what Shruti means, because it doesn't make sense. She cannot negate herself. So Purnam will get negated. All right. Then is there a relationship between the two? So next quarter, Shruti says, Purnat Purnam Udachate. So from that Purna, this Purna has come, arisen, created, born, Udachate. Uday, coming from the word like Uday, you know, Suryoday we have, sunrise. So it has come. which means that there is a cause and effect relationship between that purna and this purna. All right. Now, the cause-effect relationship that we know in our day-to-day life are two different kinds. One is where the cause gets destroyed to give rise to the effect. And the example is the seed which destroys itself to become the tree. And the other is where the cause modifies itself to give rise to the effect. And that example is milk and yogurt. So milk is modifying, seed is destroying itself, and then the effect is seen. These are the two types of cause-effect relationships that we know. Is any one of this applicable to that purna and this purna? If we say that the seed, the cause is getting destroyed, that doesn't make sense because it is indestructible, and if the existence principle from which this entire world has come, if that existence only had gotten destroyed, we would have experienced everything as is not. The computer is not, the mouse is not, the book is not. But our experience is the computer is, the book is, I am, you are. So we are experiencing that existence principle even today, even now, which means that that existence principle, that purna must not have gotten destroyed like the seed. Okay, then has it modified itself to give rise to the effect? No, because if we say that it modifies, then again the definition of purna will get negated, will get falsified, which cannot happen. So if the cause, which is that purna, is not destroyed and is not modified, then there can only be one conclusion, is that the effect that I see is an illusion. It is actually not there. If I say the cause is an illusion, from an illusion, how something will come out? Cause has to be real, right? Cause has to be real. So I cannot say cause is illusion. That means that the effect is an illusion. Just like the snake and the rope. The rope is real and the effect is of the rope. Okay? Sorry, effect is of the snake. So the snake is the effect, rope is the cause. But the snake is illusory because the rope has neither destroyed itself to give rise or nor modified itself. All right. With us, with the world, what happens is the world has got names and forms, and we give importance to the names and form because of its utility. So if we were to take the example of clay and pot, the pot is just a name and form because no matter where you touch, last week I ended up with that. No matter where you touch that ornament, you're actually only touching the gold, or no matter where you touch the pot, you're actually touching the clay. The clay is pervading the entire pot, but the pot is more important to me than the clay because I can use the pot. I use it to keep water, milk, whatever. I use it. It's utility value. It is the utility value of an object which makes us give importance to that name and form. Then it becomes very important. Pot is very important, but maybe the vase is not important to me. Because for me, I can use the pot more than the vase. You know, something like that, right? Now, when this effect comes, one thing also we have to know about the effect is that if we don't see the cause, we cannot see the cause. It is not perceivable. But the effect we can see. Okay. Now, if the effect is so vast, like we may not see it, but the scientists are saying there are 1,000 solar systems, there are 1,000 suns, there are so many galaxies, this, that, the universe is way, way, way bigger than what we can even imagine. Then if the effect is that big, then the cause cannot be finite. Cause cannot be small also, right? Because the effect is that big, the cause also has to be that big. Just like if you see a snake on a rope, the snake can never be smaller or bigger than the rope. If the rope is 5 foot, the snake also is 5 foot. It cannot be 4 feet. Snake, you cannot say half I see a snake and half I see. You cannot do that. You it's not possible. So either you will see the entire rope as snake, entire, or you will see the entire rope as rope. If there is perfect light, if there is knowledge, you will see that. You cannot say half-half, right? So as much bigger is the effect, same is the cause. And of course, Purusha Sukta, if we refer to that, Purusha Sukta says, whatever you see the effect, then I extend 10 fingers I extend above that. Okay, so that's different. But here, that's so when it is said that this Purna has come from that Purna, we have to understand it. It has to be this Purna has to be an illusion. Otherwise, it doesn't, logically, it doesn't make sense. Now, this illusion must be understood as, because we think, how can you say it's an illusion? I can touch the computer. I can, you know, touch it, hug it, plug it in, unplug, etc. The illusory nature, that's why we say it's not false, it is mithya. So that which is changing is illusory. Okay, and that which is changeless is real. So the cause is changeless, does not modify, does not get destroyed, and is unlimited, so is infinite. Now, purnasya purnam adaya. Adaya means to subtract, to take away. So purnasya means from that purna, if this purna were to be removed, so from purnam adaha, purnam idam is removed, okay? Then what will happen? Purnam eva avashishyate. What remains also is purnam. So when one purnam is removed from another purnam, what remains is also purnam. And the reason for this is because what is being removed was an illusion to begin with. It never affected the cause. The snake can never poison the rope. The snake can never frighten the rope. The snake can do nothing to the rope. It's not possible because a snake is an illusion. The rope is real. So when you remove the snake, and now when we say remove this purnam, please understand that it is only in the mind. It is only the vision. Because physical removal of this world is not possible. Even for realized masters, physically, of course, you can go and sit in the Himalayas, but the world is still there also. The Himalayas are there. Okay, so physical removal is not what is meant here. What is meant here is when my vision changes, when I understand that this is an illusion and the substratum is only what is real, that would mean that this purnam we have removed, we have subtracted. Not a physical subtraction, but just a mental subtraction. When we do not give that much importance, that much reality to the world, then we will start seeing the substratum, our attention. And the next verse will explain in more detail this thing. So that is why the Shruti says that when this purnam is removed, and both are purnam because I told you, because as big the effect, so much bigger is the cause. Okay, that's why they're both purnam. And the only reason they can both be called purnam is one has to be an illusion, one has to be real. They both cannot be real. All right? And so when you remove the illusion from the real was never ever affected anyways. Nothing had happened to the rope while the snake was being experienced. So while the world is being experienced, while the pot is being experienced, while the chain is being experienced and used and shown off or whatever, nothing really is happening to the clay or the gold. All right? That's why this verse gives us the highest truth. So, purnam is that which is unlimited. That is purnam, Shruti says. That means something which is beyond the perception of our senses. So we cannot have direct perception. We cannot have inference, comparison. None of those we can have, absence, etc. And idam is purnam also. So the idam is everything that falls within our perception by all the means, not just direct perception. If we infer, like space, we can only infer space, but that's fine. So that is this thing. And this Purna has come from that Purna, which makes this Purna an illusion. Therefore, because it is an illusion, when you remove the illusion, no physical removal, only a mental understanding, when that illusion is removed, what remains is Purna only. It had never reduced. It can never reduce. Okay? So, this is the mantra, and now we go to the first verse. To actually see that Purna, this Idam Purna has to be negated, has to be falsified. Unless you falsify the snake, you can never see the rope. Unless you falsify the world, you cannot see the substratum. Okay? Now, the first verse. Ishavasya Upanishad, I told you, appears in the, I don't know if I mentioned this, anyway, it appears in the Shukla Yajurveda, and it is the 40th chapter of that Upanishad. The first 39 are Karmakanda. Okay, and Ishavasya appears in the mantra portion of the Vedas, and the first part, 39 chapters, they talk about karma. These verses, these are only 12. That there's 39 chapters. Imagine how much big. Therefore, the Karma Kanda portion is the bulkiest portion of the Vedas, and these last 18 mantras, they are the 40th chapter. They talk about knowledge alone. So these mantras that we are now studying will only talk about jnana. Karma has already been talked about in the previous chapters, and we are not studying Karmakanda, so we are not doing that. But few points from that Karmakanda we should understand is that karma can never give knowledge. No amount of karma can give knowledge. There are four things alone that karma can do. One is create. So I can create a painting. I can create a pot. I can create an ornament. So create, karma can create. Karma can obtain. By karma, I can obtain. I don't have a job. I can go study and then get a degree and then obtain a job. Okay, so karma can create, obtain. It can modify. Karma can modify. So I have a chain and now I don't want that chain anymore. I can get it modified, or I can myself modify it if I'm, you know, capable, into a bangle or a ring. That karma, you need karma. And the fourth one is purify. So I have something which is not pure. Example is the gold ore that comes out of the mines is really not pure. So it is heated and then purified. These are the four things then that karma can do. And the result of karma, time and space is required. For to get the result of an action, time has to go by. If I want a job, I'm studying, then I have to study, I have to go to university, I have to get a degree, and that also doesn't guarantee me the job. Then I have to wait and apply and then get a job, and then that also does not give me money right away on the first day. I have to at least work 15 days before I can get my paycheck, for which I have studied all these days, all these years, right? So karma's results are always in time and space. Jnana's result, on the other hand, are immediate. Knowledge, if it happens, which is, we're talking of the highest knowledge, which this Upanishad is now going to talk about, the result is immediate. Okay? And jnana doesn't do all these four things, create and obtain and that thing. Jnana is, it's like, you know, in Atmabodh, Bhagwan has given the example of the necklace in the woman's neck. It's there already, but she does not see it. Or the keys in my pocket. I put the keys, car keys, I get out of the key car, put the keys in my pocket, and then come home and say, oh my God, I can't find my keys. They're also, the minute somebody tells me, I saw you put them in your pocket, results are immediate. Right there and then, the result will come. There is no karma required to get the results which jnana can give. Because the keys were not obtained, they were not created, they were not purified, they were not modified. keys are already there. That's what Jnana is. So this Atma self, this Purnam, is already with us. It's only a matter of knowing it. Okay? So these mantras that now we'll be studying, karma cannot give us this knowledge. No amount of karma. See, that's why I'm telling you, we're listening and I'm speaking and all this is falling under karma, okay? And the reason that karma cannot give us this Atma Jnana, knowledge of the self, is because it is limited. So if I say karma can create, do I have to create the Atma? It is already present. Okay, do I have to purify the Atma? It is already very pure. Do I have to modify something to understand Atma? No, it cannot be modified. And then obtain, do I have to go obtain? Do I have to go somewhere to Tirtha Kshetra or somewhere and then get that Atma? No, it is already with me. That is the reason that karma cannot give this thing. Nevertheless, karma is required for purification of the mind, and the mantras will also talk about that. All right? So with that introduction, let us go into mantra number one. Om Isha Vasyamidam Sarvam Yat Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat Jagata Tena Tyaktena Bhunjitaha Magradhakasya Svidvanam. All this, whatsoever moves in this universe, including the universe itself moving, is indwelt or pervaded or enveloped or clothed by the Lord, the renounced thou should enjoy. I think there's a typo here. I'm not sure what is in the new books. Anyway, covet not anybody's wealth. I've always told you that the language of the Upanishad is very mystic. The first thing to understand in this Upanishad is, in this particular, you know, in some of the Upanishads, yeah, okay. So some of the Upanishads, the teacher and the taught will be named. Like Kathopanishad, it says that the teacher is Lord Yama and the student is Nachiketas. Prashnopanishad, it says there are six students and then one guru. Kenopanishad, we have studied. There was a teacher and there were many, many students in Kenopanishad. Ishavasya is one Upanishad which does not name the teacher and it does not name the disciple either. Okay, so there is no mention whether there was one disciple, whether there were more disciples. There is no mention. It is only a teaching, this Upanishad. But of course, that time always it was a Guru Shishya Parampara. So we do presume that there was a teacher and maybe there was one student or maybe there were more students. Nevertheless, the point that we must understand here is that the student or students are very well developed. They are much, much, much at a higher level than Arjun, whom we know very well now because we have studied 9 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, Arjun is at our level. We are at his level rather, or whatever. No, I don't think we are at there. But anyway, so he was not that evolved, Arjun. And therefore the teaching is very basic. Whereas in the Upanishad, Shruti is we have to presume that this is the 48th chapter. So the student who has come up to this level has done the 39 chapters. Has studied, not only studied, but done. So he has done karma, he's done karma yoga, he's purified his mind, he's highly evolved. Now he's totally ready for the final knowledge. And therefore, Shruti is now giving this final knowledge. Okay. Om is like saying hello to the Lord. Okay, that's why every we say Om Namah Shivaya, whatever mantra is there, Om. We have seen that. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. So Isha, we'll see what Isha is. Vasyam is coming from Vas Dhatu. Vas Dhatu. And the most common word we know of Vas Dhatu is Vastra. Vastra. Cloth. And Vas Dhatu means to envelope or to pervade or to clothe. Cloth. The word cloth comes from this Vas Dhatu. So, Shruti is saying, this world, this Idam, and we saw what Idam is in the previous mantra, right? The 37 aspects. So this Idam is clothed or enveloped or pervaded by Isha. And we'll see what Isha is. Yat kincha jagatyam jagata. So this entire jagat is pervaded by Isha. Tyaktena, tyaktena is to renounce. Okay. So, Shruti is saying renounce. So, we have to see what exactly we need to renounce. Bhunjitaha. Bhunjitaha is coming from the root bhuj. Bhuj root has got two meanings. One is to protect and one is to enjoy. Okay, so we'll see that also. I'm just giving you the word meaning right now. And ma means don't. It's a negative, this thing. Ma grada kasya svidvanam. So dhanam, the word dhanam is there. Swit is a nipat. Swit word. Nipat is, you know, there are some words that are just added there for meter. Like there is ha is a nipat. There are a few words in Sanskrit. So that swit doesn't really mean anything. So grada means do not covet. Do not be greedy about dhanam, about others' wealth. Okay. So the word meaning of this verse is Isha is the one that is pervading this entire jagat. You renounce and enjoy and do not covet anybody's wealth. That is the word meaning. Isha here refers to Purnam from the previous mantra. And which Purnam? That Purnam. Which means it is the cause, it is the substratum. And what Shruti is now telling the student, telling us, is that this Isha has clothed the entire Idam. So it is present in and through the Idam. Idam is this, the 37 aspects. Why is she telling us this? The reason that she's telling us this is to give us a hint. Now you change your vision. You change your thinking. So far you were thinking, this is for us, huh? Because the Upanishadic students are not thinking like that, that the world is real. So far you were thinking that the world is real, but I am telling you that what is actually pervading and what is actually real is this Isha, which is the substratum, which is the cause, which is the Purnam that was described in the previous mantra. And how do I do this? How do I change the vision? To change the vision, we have to give up the Satya Buddhi in the world. And it'll come in the third line again. So what is being pervaded is Jagat. What is Jagat? Jayate Gachati Tishtati Iti Jagat. So that which is born, Jayate, that which is born, which is moving, Gachati is moving, and Tishtati, and yet appears to be staying. So the word Jagat, this is the meaning of the three syllables. See, what it is the world is changing, but I don't feel it. The reason is I go to bed at night and I wake up in the same room in the same bed. And I think that I am in the same room where I slept. And I am the same, right? Because I remember I went to bed and I woke up. But actually, have I remained the same? If you think, I have not remained the same. Actually, even in this 1 hour, there are so many, if you ask a medical doctor, then he'll tell us that there's so many changes that are happening in the body, even as we speak. The thing is, we don't see it. So we think tishtati. It is actually moving. The changes are happening, but it appears to be steady, to be just the same. That is an appearance. That's why this Jagat is an illusion. And that's why it is called Jagat. It is born. Like thought is born. Thought is a good example because body lives for a long time. A thought is born. It gets sustained for some time. It stays for some time. And then it goes away. So that is Jagat. Whatever comes is born, stays for some time and goes away. And that is Jagat. And that is why only it is an illusion. Because it only stays for some time. Then it is not there anymore. However, I feel tishtati. I feel I'm the same since I was born, since I remember, I have not changed. So that's why it says tishtati, but actually it is gachati. Okay, that's why that word is there. Now this tyaktena, this renouncing, what is Shruti asking us to renounce? She is asking us to, if I want to get this vision, if I want to see that Isha, Then she's asking us to renounce the satya buddhi in the world. What is to be renounced is this reality that I have given the world. And I told you, the reality we give the world, the importance we give the world is because of its utility value. Because I can use the world. I see the world. I see the computer. I use the computer. I use the, you know, calculator or pot or vessel or clothes. Everything has got a utility value. How do I falsify the utility value? Okay, how do I do that? Now, if the utility value was really real, then it should be the same in all the three states. Which are the three states? Waking, dream, and deep sleep. Now, my fridge is full of food. And it's very important to me because when I'm hungry, then I need the food. Now I'm in a dream state and I'm very hungry. What utility value does the food in the fridge have? No utility value, right? In the dream, I need dream food only to appease my hunger. This is how we need to devalue this world. The amount of value that we give it, but in the dream, it is no good to me. Or in the dream, I may have won the lottery, $1 million. What good is that money to me in the waking world? Right? So the importance is given because of the utility. We need to think about the utility value itself. Like, is this really useful for me? Or the fridge is, you know, full of food, but just last week in my gym, 8 people got sick with stomach flu. 8 people, something in the gym. I don't know what it was. 8 people who either trained in the gym or were training, they just went home on the Wednesday, last Wednesday, every hour throwing up and diarrhea. All 8, same symptoms. Now, what good is that food at that time, right? So it is illusory. But we give importance to it because I think, oh my God, you know, I need to store my fridge with food and this and that. Not that we shouldn't, But, you know, the importance should be reduced. That is what, because we make such a big deal out of it, right? That value should be seen in correct perspective. That is what this tyaktena means. We can never renounce the world physically, okay? If you think that, oh, I will commit suicide and I will renounce the world, it is not renouncing the world. It is you're committing suicide because you want to be happy and then another birth is waiting for you and you're born in the same world. Maybe even a worst world, but same thing. So that is not what it is. So this renunciation, which is a reduction of satya buddhi. Satya buddhi is the reality that I'm, the amount of reality that I'm giving this world has to be reduced, all right, to get the vision which is given in the first two lines. And what is the vision? That this substratum, this cause, this purnam is pervading the entire world. Now, bhunjitaha, I told you, bhuj dhatu is protect or enjoy. So protect, renouncing, I protect. So I renounce the satya buddhi in the world and I protect my higher vision. So bhunjitaha word can be taken in both meanings. Okay. So when we take it as protect, then what needs to be protected is this vision that the substratum. So constantly my attention should keep going to the substratum. That vision has to be protected. This is what it means. Or it can mean enjoy. Once you know the world is an illusion, enjoy. Like Guruji has said, game of life. Play the game of life to the best of your ability. See, in a movie, we go, we enjoy the movie, right? We cry, we laugh. We are like, ah, I hope that villain gets punished. I hope that, you know, the hero is, you know, whatever this thing. We enjoy, right? And then once we come home, then we forget about it. Right? So while it is going on, you enjoy. Also, one thing about this illusion that we must remember. See, if we say that the world is an illusion, we are saying that, not that if we say, we are saying that. This word illusion must be understood correctly. it doesn't mean that if there is a fire or the range is hot, I say, oh, the world is an illusion. Let me go touch fire. You are going to get burned. Okay. See, illusory things also can give us experiences. And the best example is dream. Don't I feel happy in the dream? Don't I get sad in the dream? I feel hungry in the dream. I feel jealous. I could feel angry. I could be angry. And that whole dream experience is an illusion. But the feeling I feel. So same way with the world. It is an illusion. But I do get these experiences. So when something good happens and I feel happy, sad, etc. The word illusion must be understood as changing. It is an illusion because it is changing. It is gachati. It is moving. Because the same thing is not remaining the same. Though I may feel like I'm going to feel that what I was yesterday, I am today. And what I am today, I will be tomorrow also. Tishtati. I feel that it is staying, but yet it has moved. The body has changed. The mind has changed. The taste. If we think of our own life from childhood, how many things we didn't like and now we like? How many things we liked and now we don't like? How many things we have changed? We have changed for the better. Some things we have changed for the worse. All these changes have happened and yet we go on saying, I'm the same. I'm the same. Right? Mind has changed. Actually, I'm not the same. Body is not the same. So this bhunjitaha, if you take it as protection, protect the higher vision. If you take it as enjoyment, enjoy the illusion while it's going on. But know that it is false. Knowing, that's why Guruji has given that inside Rama, outside drama. Outside you do the role, you do your drama. Oh, I'm a mother. Oh, my son, my this. Then afterward, no, I am that one, that reality. So immediately you come back. You play the role. You go on the stage of life. You play the role to the best of your ability. All right? To the best of your ability. But then inside you must know that you are neither one of these roles. So you have become a neighbor. You have become a friend. You become an enemy. You have become a driver. You're a shopper. You're a cook. All these roles we have played throughout the day. I'm an employee. Maybe I'm the boss. Maybe I'm, you know, writing an exam. Maybe I'm examiner. Whatever role is there, you play it. Know that it is not true. It is changing. It is, okay, that way. Now, magradha, do not covet another's wealth. Kasya dhanam. Swith, I told you, swith doesn't have a meaning. Dhanam is wealth. One thing to know is that whose wealth is it? You know, we are like, I want that wealth, I want that. What did we come with? Nothing. What are we going to go with? Zilch. That's why Alexander the Great, he had said that his hands should be left like this open outside the coffin, because he had conquered so much land and so many kings and this and that. But he said, when I go, nothing. Right? Knowing. That is one way of understanding. Second is, it's an illusion now. See, the first three lines have told us that it is an illusion. Now, what illusory wealth are you coveting? What are you greedy about? Another thing to also understand, the word greed is used, it includes all the other negative qualities as well. It's not just greed. So there's anger, desire, delusion. You know, the shadripus, just like when we have always said that if a mantra or a shloka mentions one sense organ, it includes all the five. Same way, if one bad quality is mentioned, which is greed here, then the other five are also included. Kama, Krodha, Moha, Mada, Matsara, and Lobha. Lobha has been mentioned here. So to know that this wealth is illusory, to know that there is nothing, you know, that I'm going to take. I've not brought anything. I'm not going to take anything. If I can reduce this negative quality. Now, what is reduction of negative qualities? Purification of mind. Right? We have said that. What is what does it mean by purifying the mind? Is to reduce the negative qualities. Therefore, Shruti is asking us, telling us, reduce these negative qualities so that you will get that vision that the substratum is pervading the entire world. Okay? This is now, this interpretation is from the highest standpoint, which is Advaita. But we have two other schools as well. So we have the Dvaita school and we have the Vishishta Advaita school. Dvaita school is where, which is the Bhakti Darshan also, which says that the Lord is somebody separate from me. There is a God. See, everybody, we have six schools of philosophy who are the Astika schools, and Astika means that they believe in the Vedas, and each one of them believes in God, but their idea of God, which is this Isha here mentioned, is different. So as per your mental inclinations, you will interpret this verse. Now, Bhagavan Shankaracharya, because he's an Advaitin, has interpreted it this way. But there might be a Dvaita person, you know, one who believes, yeah, God is there, but he thinks that God is something separate. Like the Nyaya school, what they say is there is this Purusha, there's Purusha and Prakriti, Purusha is God, and God has created this world out of the five elements. So that they agree. We also say world has come out of five elements. They also say it has, but there is a creator who is separate from the creation. Advaita says creator is not separate from his creation. Nyaya school says, or Dvaita school says, that this creator is different, but he is a very kind and compassionate creator. So you surrender to him and you can ask him for whatever. It's very easy for people to understand this concept. It's very difficult when you tell people you are God, but if you tell them that there is a God who is, you know, apart from you, and he's very kind and compassionate and loving, and you can, you know, talk to him and you can ask him and all that. All right. So if there is this Dvaita mentality where God is different, then Isha doesn't mean substratum. It means God. Please understand that it means God. And they don't say that now that God is pervading the universe. They say God is the creator of the universe. So that Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam is, he is the creator of this entire Idam. He is the creator of this entire world. He is kind and compassionate, and you surrender to him. So this Tena Tyaktena then becomes Tena Dattena. It is interpreted in a different way. This is how different masters interpret. I've told you in Bhagavad Gita also, see where we had chapter 7, right? Sutre Mani Gana Iva. So what does Advaitin say? That the money, the pearl and the sutra, the thread, is of the same material. Whereas Advaita says, see, Bhagwan himself said that I am the thread and then the money is different. So this, if that is the thought process, that is how people are thinking, then they interpret, they say, Isha, see, Isha, Shruti is saying that, because they believe in the Vedas, they are Astics, okay? So there is no doubt there. But they say that Shruti doesn't mean that Isha is the substratum. It is the cause, but it is a God. There's a physical God there, okay? If there is a physical God, then what do you renounce? No, you don't renounce. You give. You also be kind. You give things because God has given it to you. Now you distribute. So, and enjoy. And enjoy. This is how they say. Tena dattena bhunjitaha. Dattena is to give. So that tyaktena, because Advaita is saying, renounce the world, the satya buddhi in the world. They say, no need. God has created it, the world, and God has created it for my enjoyment. But he is kind, and so I should also be kind and come. I should give. That is how they interpret it. And of course, do not covet others' wealth. That, because good, na? Good. God is good, and we also have to be good and everything. So this is how the Dvaitas will interpret this verse. Huh? Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, there are four sutras where he says that there is a God whose name is Pranava. So there is a God means what? It means it's separate from us. His name is Pranava. Then he is a he is the guru, he is the Adi Guru. So he says, Patanjali, Rishi Patanjali says that this God is this God whose name is Pranava is the guru of all gurus. So he's the Adi Guru. Then he says, this guru, this Adi Guru, this God, this Pranava is a Vishesha Purusha. So Vishesha means what? Special. So he is Vishesha and this Jiva is not Vishesha. Okay, because then now there's a separation. Na? He is the Adi Guru, the Jiva, individual, we are not even gurus, let alone be Adi Gurus. And then he is a Vishesh Purusha and we, the Jiva, is not a Vishesh Purusha. I am not special. God is special. Now, what is the specialty that God has? So God does not, there are five kleshas. Patanjali talks about five kleshas or difficulties. Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha, and Abhinivesha. So Avidya is ignorance, Asmita is ego, Raga, Dvesha is likes and dislikes, and Abhinivesha is identification. So the reason he says that this God is a Vishesh Purusha is special, is different from the Jiva, is because the God does not have all these things, but we have. So there is again a Dvaita philosophy there. There is a separation, right? Because he is Vishesha and I am not Vishesha. Okay, so for them and Dvaita or Bhakti, those who are Bhaktas, this verse is to be interpreted that way. That there is a God who is the creator of this world and then I should also be just giving, very loving and kind like him and I should enjoy. Because why would God create the world? For my enjoyment. Now why? He will not create for my sorrow. He is not, he's a kind and compassionate. He cannot create world for my sorrow. He has created for enjoy, so let me enjoy. All right. Now, Vishishta Advaita is a little bit advanced than Dvaita because they are saying that God is not separate from me. I am a part of God. They say, I am a part of God. So in there also, devs will interpret Isha as God, but I am a part. And obviously, if I am a part, all of us are parts of him. So it's like, you know, in my body, will my hand deliberately put finger in the eye and hurt the eye? My teeth are deliberately not going to bite the tongue, right? Because they are all parts of me. So one part is not going to hurt another part. So they say, Vishishta Advaita says that we are all parts of God. So obviously, we are not going to hurt anybody because not only that I am a part, you are also a part. You are also a part. You are also a part. Okay? So this is the verse that is interpreted in different ways. For us, mission, we follow Bhagavan Shankaracharya, so it's Advaita. So for us, Isha is the substratum, is the cause, it is Purnam, it is unlimited, and therefore Idam is an illusion. And so that illusion, the idea that this illusion is real should be given up, Tyaktena. And then I have to protect the vision, the higher vision, that the substratum is the real thing, and I protect that, or I enjoy the illusion, all the experiences that come to me, knowing that it is an illusion, knowing that all this thing will pass, I will enjoy life and I should not covet another's wealth. I should not get greedy about others' wealth, knowing that it is illusory, knowing that it is nothing. My wealth is also not mine. How somebody else's wealth will be mine? Because I'm not going to take it with me. So there was this one man, it seems, he had told his wife that when I die, you put all my property in the coffin. And so he died one day. And the wife was still living in the same big house and enjoying all the money and everything. So her friends asked her, he said, did you not promise your husband that when he dies, you'll put all the property, all his property in the coffin? She said, of course I did. How come you did? Because you're still living in the same house. You didn't do anything. She goes, no. I wrote a check for the entire property and I put it in the coffin. It's gone. I gave him. He said, he didn't tell me put cash or put check. So I wrote one big check for that amount and I put it in there. So nothing we take, right? So there is no what. Now, the next verse, we will read it. This is from the highest standpoint. Next verse, Shruti thinks maybe not everybody is can understand this higher vision. So I'm going to give a little bit of not a lower vision, but somebody who is not ready for the first mantra, I give the second mantra. Kurvanneveha karmani jijivishesham samaha evam tvainanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare. The first mantra talked about jnana and jnana alone. This mantra is talking about karma. And I've already told you the difference between karma and jnana. Karma is limited and will give limited results in time and space. Jnana can give unlimited results immediately. So there's a difference. Performing verily work in this world, should one desire to live a full 100 years. This alone is right, for there is no other right path. Action never clings to a man of this temperament. So once again, here, Shruti is saying, there is no problem. If you want to live up to 100 years, there is no problem. Okay. And the reason she says that is because she knows that all of us mortals want to live. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live. And she says, okay, fine. You have that desire and you can live. But there is a condition. So what is the condition? Kurvanna eva iha karmani. Kurvan eva iha. Iha, here. In this world, kurvan, do action. This kurvan comes from krudhatu. Krudhatu means to do. Okay? Karoti, karomi, all those, this kurvan. Eva iha karmani. So she's saying you can live up to 100 years, but keep doing karma for all that time. You must always do it. Okay? If you have jiji visheshata, should desire to live shatam 100 years. While you are, otherwise, and this type of karma will not lipyate. It will not taint you. It will not bind you. Now the question that arises here is, do action means what? Do I keep on doing selfish actions? What does she mean? What does Shruti mean? She's saying do action. So this word kurvan becomes very important here. Now, there are three types of, you know, gunas that we have seen. According to those gunas, there are three types of people. So there are the tamasic people who don't want to do any action at all. So is Shruti talking about them? No, because Shruti is specifying that you should do action. So she's not talking about the tamasic people. Then there are the rajasic people who do action, but that action is always driven by ego and egocentric desires. Okay, so is she talking about these type of people then? If we say that she's talking about this, we have studied a little bit, we may not be that, but we have studied in Bhagavad Gita that if we do action with ego and ego, then na karma lipyate nare is getting falsified. The last line is getting falsified. So we cannot falsify any line either that Shruti is saying. So obviously she must not mean that this is a rajasic action. Means rajasic action, that which is done for selfish reasons. So she means the third kind, which is the sattvic kind, which is selfless action. Question arises, how do you interpret kurvan to be selfless actions? And here is where the commentary comes in very handy. So Bhagavan Shankaracharya explains. See, those who know Sanskrit a little bit, Sanskrit grammar, I've always talked to you about verbal roots. Every word has a verbal root. And every verbal root can have many meanings. There are 2400 verbal roots in the Sanskrit grammar. Okay. And these verbal roots are divided into three parts. So one is known as Atmanipadi verbal root. Second is known as Parasmaipadi. And third is Ubhayapadi. Atmanipadi, Atma means self. So Atmanipadi verbal root will mean that action, if it is to do with action, is meant for myself. Means it's a selfish action. Because that word will change. Atmanipadi, this krudhatu, if it is to mean Atmanipadi, it will be in a certain way. If it is parasmai, para is other. Parasmaipadi means to do action for somebody else. So that krudhatu will be written in a different way. And the third is Ubhayapadi. Ubhayapadi means that dhatu, that verbal root, can either take the form of atmanipadi dhatu or parasmaipadi dhatu. Do you understand? Some verbal roots can only be used in atmanipadi. They'll only become like self, for actions done for the self. Some will become only for others, and some will become. This kru dhatu is ubhaipadi. It falls in the ubhaipadi. It comes in the 8th conjugation of the 10 conjugations that Sanskrit grammar has. And this kurvan word, kurvan, is a ubhaipadi, parasmaipadi dhatu it is. Parasmaipadi. And that is what tells us that what Shruti means here is you must do selfless action. See, this is where the commentary comes in very, very handy. Otherwise, how would we know? I remember when I was teaching this in my Saturday class, which is a pretty senior class, right? So when I said, I said that this kurvan means selfless action, and immediately one of the persons questioned me right away. Right there, he said, "Is that how can you say that? Because it's action, do action. So how do you say that it is selfless?" I said, no, I'm not saying anything. Bhagwan has done all the work. I'm just repeating what Bhagwan has said. What Bhagwan has explained. This is how it is. It is jokes apart. But this kurvan word, it's a parasmaipadi. It is coming from that verbal root, which means do actions for other people. So when we say so, it falls under the sattvic kind, where selfless action. And selfless action is as per the language of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, Karma Yoga. This verse is the seed of chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. Or seed also of verse 47, chapter 2. Karmanne vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Your right is on action alone. You do not have any adhikara, any right on the result. And this is the root. This Mahatma Gandhi has commented on this one. He says, if we can just understand this and do this, the Hindu culture will constantly be maintained. Means what? Means constantly do actions for others, selfless actions. Means what? Selfless means what? Means without any expectation of result for your own self. And that is the full, all principles of Karma Yoga come in this. And this is what Shruti says. And then if you want to live for 100 years, no problem. More than 100 years also you can live. As long as you're doing actions for other people, you can go on living as long as you want. There is nothing wrong in desiring. It is a desire. You want to live long, but you must do this. And then there is no other path. The third line means there is no other path. Means there's no other path than doing selfless actions. So tamasic inactivity, Shruti is not even touching that. She's not even giving that. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan explained in all, if somebody is tamasic, then show him a carrot and make him do rajasic action. And then from Shruti doesn't, she's not bothered with these tamasic people. She's not saying it. So this is doesn't refer to those, does not refer to rajasic people from the word kurvan. The first word refers to selfless action. So it's referring to those people who want to evolve, and so they should do. And then na karma lipyate nare. Nare is human being, person. It will not taint. This Bhagwan said in chapter 5 also, name karmani limpanti. No karma taints me. Why? Because there's no doership and there's no enjoyership. Means it is the action is not driven by ego and egocentric desires. These are Gurudev's words. When action is driven by ego, like I want to do it and I all that, and I want to get the result, then it is binding us. This lipyate means binding. It is binding us to sansar. So Shruti is saying, if you don't understand that highest vision that I told you in the first mantra and then the Om Purnamadam, if you don't understand that, see, already she gave the highest. If you understand, you don't need to read the further things. If you understood that, and it's like Kenopanishad. You know, he gave the highest. Some people meditated and they just left. They said, okay, we understood what it is. We don't need anything further. But some people stayed. So same way here, she gives the highest. And then some people are like, okay, so now what? It's like Arjun, basically. Bhagwan gave the highest and Arjun said, why I should do action? Right? So Bhagavan said, okay, fine, now let me come down. So the same thing Shruti is also doing here. She says, you do selfless action because it will purify your mind. Now, those things Shruti is not saying. This is to be understood. The student is highly evolved enough to understand. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan told him, that will purify your mind and that will this and this and this and this. Here she's not saying. She's saying, do selfless action. You can live for 100 years. I have no problem with that. That is what will not bind you. Because why? Because there is no ego behind that action. Okay. So I will stop here today. The next Monday is a holiday. And the following Monday, I told you, I will not be able to take class because there are people coming from India will be staying with me. So the next class will be on June the 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double check that. I think I saw that already. Yeah, first is a Saturday. 3rd June. 3rd June will be the next class. Okay? So we are missing one class because long weekend we would have been closed. And we have 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th. So we have 4 Mondays after that. And I will complete the text. If I have to go over on the last day or something, I might. But by end of June, we should be able to finish the text. Okay? So before we close, we will finish the text because we don't want to keep like 1 or 2 mantras for September. Any questions?
Jayaji, just a quick question. Now this second mantra says that you can live as long as you wish, but nobody can live as long as they wish, right?
No.
Obviously, what is the relevance of saying that?
No. It means you want to live long. She's used 100 years. She says, we all have the desire to live now. Mm-hmm. Basically, don't take about the 100 years. We all have the desire to live. She says, okay, that's no problem. You can live as long as your body prarabdha, of course, that is understood. You can desire to live a long life, but with that desire, you must do selfless actions. So even though every day we live, we do actions, and every action is binding us. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The more actions we do, actually some people think more actions, more binding. I should not do only action. Some people think like that. This is how it is interpreted. Like if more action is going to bind me, then less action is going to bind me less. So I may as well do less action or no action, no binding. So I may as well not do. What they don't understand is that not doing is also coming out of ego. So here what she's saying is, you have this desire to live. You can live 100 years. That means, of course, if your body prarabdha allows you to live 100, that time people used to live also long lives. Na? See, even during Mahabharata war, Krishna was 125 and Arjun was almost 90 or something. Mm. Yeah, their ages are there. So people, it was a natural thing to live 100 years and all. So she says it doesn't matter. So for us, that's why for us it is even more important because we don't have that kind of, 100 years or whatever. But whatever actions we do self. That is the point to be taken.
Yep.
Karma yoga. So every karma to be converted into karma yoga, to be done as a duty, to be done with detachment, to be done with prasad buddhi. Now all those things Shruti doesn't explain. Mm. Because she presumes. See, I told you already, the student who has come to 48th chapter, he has studied 39 chapters, right? Yes. The first 39 have been studied. That's why he's reached 40. That way. Okay? Yeah. You should never have any misunderstanding. Otherwise, it will... Yeah.
No, I was just wondering, nobody can do that. So what is the relevance? Is it just trying to tell us that, do all actions as karma yoga?
Yeah. And then if you live... whatever the body is there, if prarabdha is there, it will continue.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. So I'll see you after 2 weeks this time, 3rd of June. Okay. All right. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Have a nice long weekend next week. Swami Ishwananji is going to be here, by the way, next Monday. So we're having his yajna. And then he leaves, and immediately the next day, I've got guests coming from India, my friend. So that's why 2 weeks continuously I'm busy. Okay? All right. Okay. Hari Om. And have a good 2 weeks.